Now our text is 1 Peter, please turn there. Today's message concerns everyone. Whether you are old or young, married or not, concerns you. And I want you to please focus your attention on every word. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's focus on the last two verses, which we will all read and then try to memorize. They are so precious. Altogether, verses 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. How does this sound to you? I learned these two verses 58 years ago when we started the first BP church in Prinsep Street, and so these are very precious to me, and they will be precious to you once you know the verses. Hide them in your heart and meditate. You ready for the third and last time? Alright, everyone please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24, 25. The title of today's message, and for us all to focus our minds on, is man's glory is as grass. And verse 24, again, please look at the verse as I shall read. For all flesh is as grass. All flesh meaning you and me. We all are made of flesh. And all the glory of you and me is as flower of grass. Grass withers. This is a fact of nature. Grass grows in the morning. By afternoon, it fades. The flower falleth away. You know the common flower called daisy? Ever walk through the grassland? In Singapore, you will not find it. But overseas, very common. As you walk in the fields, many of the shrubs that you see are grass, and the flower is called a daisy. You know what is a daisy? The meaning of daisy is a short for day's eyes. The eye of the day. Daisy flower opens in the morning, by afternoon it closes and it's gone. That's the picture of glory of man. You and I all understand what is glory. When you hear the word glory, what do you think of? Beauty. Miss Singapore, glorious. I had a patient who wished she was good looking, but she thought her daughter was even better. So she strove very hard to doll her up and put her up for Miss Singapore. When she did not get it, she was very disappointed. No glory to my daughter. Dear friends, Miss Singapore or whoever it is, today looks so alluring. Wait for another 20, 30, 40 years and all that beauty is gone. That is a picture. Man's life is but a day, a short day. Today I look at the day when I first went to school at 6. It's like yesterday almost. So do not think that, wow, I have all the years ahead of me. You never know. Your day may be coming to a close. what is it that you find glory in? How do you define glory? Glory means something that you admire. You think it is so good, you desire to have. If only I could be. Last year we saw the Olympics. That was a glorious event in the eyes of the world. China showed off what it could do. Whatever other nations can do, they can do better. And not just better, but bigger. Who can produce a show of 3,000 young people doing all those amazing business? That's glory. We remember that, but that is a short day. The day comes when all those performing, those gymnasts, those athletes, a man called Thunderbolt, who could run the 100 meters in so many 9 seconds, in the short time, these all fade away. Nothing endures. If in this life we only have the hope in our flesh, we are nothing. We are finished. Life is meaningless. Nothing to look forward to. Focus on the verse again. All flesh. I am just grass. And because God so loved us, He sent us hope. Something beyond this short day of ours. Jesus Christ came to make life meaningful for you and me, so that we do not end our life at a short day and that's it. That is not it. God has showed us there is far, far more. Remember, you and I came onto planet Earth without your consent or my consent. Please understand this. We are not masters of our own destiny. We never came here because we wanted to come. All of us were put here. And one day, the call comes from the Maker, the Creator. You go off. We heard just now the announcement that Pastor Peter Clemens, whom we all know, or at least most of us know, a faithful servant of God. And the doctors gave him, 6 years ago, 2 months to live. God says, wait a while. I have worked for him. He worked 6 more years. I spoke to him about 10 days ago. And he likes to speak to me in Indonesian, of which is Bahasa Melayu. Because he was trained and educated, learned the language of the Indonesians to go to Indonesia in order to be a servant of God, to be a preacher of the gospel, but God had other plans. His visa was not permitted to go. So he was wandering and he wandered into FEBC and came to talk with Reverend Timothy Toh. The result of the talk is he joined FEBC. So from there, God molded his life and sent him back to Australia where he came from to be a servant of God. Now, his short day is over. I talk to him regularly, and the last time he says, wow, this time I think it's the last. He was right, because he was really down with cancer of the liver. So, dear friends, it must speak to you. How are you spending your life? Glory of man in beauty, in youth, in strength, in achievements, in possessions and power, all those things give you some kind of satisfaction. But all of them last one day, a short day. It can be 50 years, can be 80 years. At the end of it, all of those things fade into nothing like the flower of grass. Now we'll come to the next verse. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, says the Lord Jesus. But my word shall never pass away. This book you hold in your hand, the Bible, the King James Version Bible, the perfect Word of God without any mistake. Here is our answer to the meaning of life. The clue to the future is all here. And this book tells you what you ought to do, how you ought to live your life, not to depend on the glory of man, which is grass of a day. Now let us look into the rest of this morning's message. Verse 3, when we think of what God has done for us, we always bless the name of God. What do you mean by bless the name of God? Give Him all glory, praise, honor, and thanks, because He is the source of every blessing. So, verse 3, Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to God, you come through His Son. This is because God has given us only one mediator, only one high priest, only one go-between. You cannot go straight to God. You go through Jesus Christ the Son, because He is the appointed mediator. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Begotten us again. From here comes the term born again. Are you born again? This is all that matters today. If not, your glory will be one day, like grass. No matter how rich, how clever, how powerful, how smart, how rich in possessions of the earth, end of your day, you fade into nothing like grass. End of all your enjoyments, your possessions, your exulting in what you have. But God has begotten us again. Verse 3, the last part. Unto a lively hope, because you have come to know the Savior. And I pray that everyone here has put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in any man, not in any system, not in the church, not in the pastor. You must have that personal relationship. Does Jesus know you? Do you know Jesus? Is there that relationship? Thank God, it says here, we are born again because you have come to know the Lord Jesus, received Him, confess all your sins, let Him take away all your sins and wash you clean by His precious blood, and receive you as a child of God. Then you are born again. And this becomes effective because our Savior not only died, but He rose from the dead. This is part and parcel of the doctrine, of the teaching, of the fact of Jesus dying for you. If He died and stayed in the grave and stayed on and rotted away, you have no salvation. None at all. He's no better than any other person who says, who pretends to be your Savior. But Jesus conquered death and the grave, as He had spoken. If you examine the scriptures, please, someday when you read through. By the way, we have a group in Calvary Pandan who have committed themselves to read through the Bible this year. Now it's March 22nd. So we've gone through about a quarter of the Bible already. How about you? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you reading every day? Why not if you don't? Now, when you know the Word of God, then you understand the will of God. You understand the future. Here we are now, back to here. God has begotten us, giving us a lively hope, because we trust in the Savior who has conquered death. And every time He said to the disciples, I will die for you, He never ended that statement there, never. Every time He says, I will die for you, and the third day I will rise again. Every time you examine the scriptures. So our Lord left it in no uncertain terms to His disciples. You expect me to die, I will die. but I will rise again. Did the disciples believe that? Answer me. Did the disciples believe that Jesus will rise from the dead? Answer is no. All the disciples did not believe that he would rise from the dead. Even when he had risen from the dead and appeared to Mary Magdalene, and it was noise around that Jesus has risen from the dead, the disciples steadfastly did not believe. Amazing thing. Do you believe? Dear friends, today the great movement among intelligent people is to debunk the doctrine that Jesus rose from the dead. I say, if Jesus remained in the grave and rotted away, we are here for aimless purpose. For nothing, I say, close the church, let's go home. For you are worshipping a dead Savior who cannot save himself from the grave. How can he save you from the grave? But because, verse 3, please see, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus, because according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again, given us a new life, a second life, God's life. That's the meaning of begotten us again, unto a lively hope, a living hope, an everlasting hope in the life that God gives to us through his Son in his resurrection. Trust in him, therefore, because your Savior, my Savior, lives, and he is very much with us. You believe that? Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, what did he say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to ascend to heaven now. I got to leave you, but I'm with you. How is Jesus with you? Answer, by his Spirit. God the Father, God the Son going back now, God the Holy Spirit will come. He will dwell with you. He will dwell in you. He'll be with you until the end. Now, what is the profit? What do you gain by trusting in Jesus? What do you gain by having this new life, everlasting life? Verse 4. When you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come into an inheritance. A gift. Inheritance is something somebody leaves to you when he dies. We are referring to earthly things. You have a rich father or mother or some relative who is going to leave you his or her property as a will. Inheritance. Do you know that you have an inheritance because you are a child of God? And God gives it to you in heaven much, much better than what you can have on earth. Do you know? Look at verse 4 now, please. Verse 4. You have come into an inheritance incorruptible. On earth, you may come to inherit a house. And by the time you will move into the house, the roof begins to leak, or the power system doesn't work. Now in heaven, what the Lord is preparing for you and for me, do you believe in this, by the way? Do you believe in it? Why did you trust in the Lord Jesus? This is part of the blessing and the reward that comes to you because you have come to Jesus and you trusted in him. And because you have trusted and become a child of God, you come into an inheritance. Where does it say so? Verse 4, please see. This inheritance is incorruptible, can never get old, never go for repairs because of breakdown somewhere. Never, never, never. In heaven, you do not have any kind of repair shops. Everything is always new, undefiled. And that fadeth not away, does not eventually disappear into nothing. On earth, I had a friend who had a house called Lakeside, I don't know, Lakeside View, Lakeview or something, opposite the Mount Alvernia Hospital. And the rains were so heavy, and his house was on a slope. Suddenly he found the house was moving, and very soon the whole house collapsed, and there was nothing left. Wow, what a house. Now, when you come to Jesus, he leaves you an inheritance of a place in heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions, mansions that do not grow old, that do not go bust, and suddenly slide away and collapse and become nothing. No. It is a wonderful thought, isn't it? And in case you are worried, hey, if I don't arrive in time, somebody else will take away my inheritance. It says here, reserved. Reserved for you. No, just think. When you trust in the Lord, all the glories of earth become nothing. You have something most glorious in heaven waiting for you, an inheritance that is what? Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved. Your name is written on it. Nobody can take away your possession up in heaven because Jesus guarantees it for you. Your name is there. Praise the Lord. And it is not only that. What's the use of having an inheritance of a beautiful mansion and you yourself get lost somewhere else and you don't never get there? Verse 5. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation when you trust in the Lord and continue to put your trust in the Lord. Jesus Christ puts a tag on you. You are kept. You are special. He watches over you. You will never be lost. If you have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then once saved, you continue to be saved. Because you continue to walk with the Lord and you put your faith and trust every day looking to Jesus. And you can never be lost. Verse 5, you are kept. Kept means secure. God looks after you, protects you, defends you, and supplies you, and comforts you all the way until we arrive home. Verse 6, and because of this, even though you grow old, the glory of your youth and your beauty is gone. You are now old and withering away, perhaps wondering when is your turn. Do you ever think of that? Don't you say, I'm too young to think of eternity. You're never too young. Because our day is never guaranteed. Don't you ever think that because the Bible says 70 years, I'm only 30, 40, I'm all right. Are you all right? Answer is no. For you cannot be sure even of tomorrow. How can you be sure? My classmate years ago went to bed. In the morning, the wife woke up, the husband was dead, gone. So often, read the papers, young men of 36. Again, I quote specific instance. This was one of my students. And he says, Doctor, I want to live long. My grandfather died at 75. My father died at 57. I'm not going to be like them. Working so hard that they died young. I'm going to live long. So he joined every possible health club, island club. One morning he came early as his custom is and had his usual jog, went to have a shower. When he came out of the shower, he dropped dead right there and then. How old was he? 36. He says, Grandfather, 75. Father, so foolish, worked so hard, 57. I'm going to be smart. He was so smart, he died at 36. So, don't you ever think you are going to live long, long time. Therefore, I couldn't care less. I'm going to make plans when I'm 70. No, dear friends. For you cannot be sure even of tomorrow. Now, what does it say? Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Today, you are afflicted with a disease. Some diseases do not kill you immediately. Take the case of our friend Peter Clemens. Cancer in the liver. Usually they die within a year. but he lived on for 6-7 years. So you never know, but while he was suffering, he had so many causes of chemotherapy, and when his abdomen began to swell with fluid because of the cancer, he had to go for tapping. You know what is tapping? Big bore needle like this, poke through your abdominal wall inside and let out a lot of fluid so that you will travel light. Otherwise, you have 2 or 3 liters of fluid at all inside the tummy, and you got to walk around with that. That is called heaviness of worry. When do I go for my next tapping? He used to talk to me. Oh yes, I'm due for my tapping in 2 weeks' time. How good when you can go instead of 2 weeks, 4 weeks' time. Because every tapping is painful and is troublesome and is terrifying. Now, verse 6 tells you all these things in a very short verse. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations because of cancer, because of sickness, because of old age dementia, or so many other things can hit you, can cripple you in your daily life. All the glory of man is gone. Yes? Glory of man is as grass, the flower of grass. Now because of sickness, you are in heaviness. You never know how wonderful it is in this life to be a healthy and well person. If you don't believe me, go to the general hospital. Just go. And stand at the admission room there and watch. People come in with crutches, in wheelchairs, going out in stretchers, and go and stand outside the operating room and see the anxious faces of relatives waiting for people coming out from operation. Then you understand. The worries, the anxieties, the burdens, the heaviness of heart of those who are under treatment because of various sicknesses and illnesses. Now, does it happen to Christians? Answer is yes. We all are under the curse from the day of Adam's fall till now, 6,000 years ago. We all fall under that same curse. Everyone is exposed, vulnerable to sicknesses of any kind. No one can insure himself against cancer. It can come to you, who know, no matter what age you are. In our church bulletin, we pray for members at 3 and 4 years having cancer, praying for them. Think of the parents. Now, verse 6 says, we rejoice because you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a hope. You have something to look forward to, which is much, much better than what you have on earth. Even though you are now in heaviness through manifold temptations, sicknesses, accidents, mishaps, loss of job. Is that heavy? Of course. Suddenly your income dries up. You are heavy. But if you're a child of God, you have an everlasting Father who cares for you, who knows your problem, and who will bring a solution sooner or later as you pray to Him. He gives the solution. So you can rejoice. This is what verse 6 says. Now verse 7. The trial of your faith. This is the trial of your faith. You say, I'm a Christian. Why do I get these things? Answer, because I'm under the curse, which is common to everyone, but which is uncommon is I have a Savior. Dear friends, tell yourself, when you come under this heaviness of sickness and temptation, look to the Savior in prayer. Tell Him your problem. Tell Him your sorrows, your burdens. Hand over to Him. Then you can rejoice because Jesus is the answer to every problem in life. Everyone, without exception. You say, wow, but my cancer, I cannot get it cured. Chemotherapy, one shot, $6,000. Wow, did you know that? So these are the things that happen to believers as well as non-believers. Then you say, how can I rejoice? This verse says, rejoice! How do you rejoice? Answer, do you know? You can rejoice because you have a Heavenly Father. You have a Savior who cares, who knows, who is the answer to every one of life's problems. Because whether I die now, or in 1 month's time, or in 1 year's time, God has a will. He knows best. I say, Lord, you know when I should go. The main thing is that I be ready. The main thing is that you be ready. If you trust in the Lord, you know Him as your Savior, you know that absent from this body is present with the Lord. There is no other way. So if God wants to call you today, say, Amen, Lord. It's so happy I'm coming home to you. I was praying this the other day with my wife, and after the prayer she says, hey, you don't pray the Lord to take you first, huh? You go first, who's going to look after me? I say, well, I don't know. I never said, Lord, take me first, but I say, make us ready. Whoever goes first, God has a perfect will, a perfect plan for everyone. So in Jesus Christ, we can rejoice. Whoever goes first, God will provide for the one who remains. But the meaning of trust is that we all have a place in heaven waiting for us. Now, verse 7, the last part is most precious. The trial of our faith is precious, more precious than of gold. How does a goldsmith purify the gold? Do you know? Any goldsmith here to tell us? Gold is purified by putting through fire. You know that? When real gold goes through fire, it comes up pure. Everything that is not gold is burnt up. Then the gold comes out shining, clear and pure. That is the trial of gold, but it will not become pure without the fire. Now, this analogy is to impress upon you the meaning of the trial you are going through now. It's so painful, it's like fire. And as gold is put through fire to purify, we go through testing and trials to purify us of our sins, our love to sin, our habits of sin, our proneness to do the things we never wanted to do, but we still do because we are weak. That fire of testing burns away all this and you come out like gold. Understand? So if you have lost a job, ask the Lord, show me, Lord, what the meaning of this is. Will you provide for me? The Lord said, yes, I will provide for you in some way. But God will show you where your impediment is. The dross, the impurity of the gold is burned away. Your sins will be taken away when you come through the testing of the fire, of tribulation, of sickness, of loss of job. Whatever it is, God has a plan for you to take it away, to take away your impurities. So now I read again the last part. Though it be tried with fire, I'm on verse 7, the second part. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of, unto praise and honor and glory to you. At the appearing of Jesus Christ, when He appears, all the promises of God will become absolutely fulfilled and true. Did you know that? That is why we all as Christians do not stop at just trusting the Lord and just hoping for the going to heaven one day. There is a greater hope that it may happen in your lifetime, in my lifetime more unlikely since I'm in that age, vulnerable age to go before you, you're younger. let's say the Lord comes. When the Lord Jesus appears, a most wonderful thing will happen to every believer. Did you know that? Turn with me to 1 John and then it will be very clear. Onwards, after 1 Peter, 2 Peter, then 1 John and chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Here it is described for us very clearly what the glory will be, how your present testing will be rewarded when Jesus appears. Are you ready? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, dearly beloved friends at True Life BP Church, now we are the sons of God, which I've been talking about in the last 20 minutes. We all are born again to become sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. When you walk out of this auditorium and walk among the crowds, we all look the same. Everything is the same, there is no differentiation, but when the Lord returns, it will happen. Please follow me now. But we know the second part of verse 3. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. It will happen only then. Only when? Answer, when Jesus returns. Are you looking forward to that event? On that day, at that moment, a most wonderful thing will happen, as it happened to Jesus' dead body on the third day after His crucifixion. What happened? Suddenly on the third day, at that moment, God the Father raised the Son, gave Him back His life, and He rose from the dead with a new body, a miracle of God. Do you believe in it? Do you believe that Jesus is alive with all power, as He says in Matthew 28, verse 20? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And He returns. When He returns, it will be evident what you are as a child of God. Today it does not appear to us what we will be. Today we are the same. We look the same. We get sick the same way. We get frightened the same way. We die the same way. Everything is the same. But look at verse 2 now, beloved. Now we the sons of God. We are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. Please note the word know. This is certain knowledge. This is revealed to us in the Word of God. We know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Did you know that? That's why we persevere in our faith. Regardless of what temptation, suffering, sickness, cancer, chemotherapy, surgery, all these things come. Regardless of all these things, when Jesus appears, a wonderful and immediate and sudden change will come over you and over me. This is the promise of God. This is not make-believe. It's not what I say, but what God says. Now, when that happens, the glory of God will be shown in your life. At that moment, can I describe to you all the things that will happen? Listen carefully. That's what I said in the very beginning. This morning's message touches on everyone, affects you. What will happen? Listen carefully. Suddenly, in that moment, you'll be transformed. This mortal body of flesh and blood drops away, disappears. You have a glorified spiritual body that will never get sick, that is free from all disease for all time. When Jesus appears, you will be free from every earth woe, everything that corrupts, everything that frightens, everything that decays on planet earth will never touch you again. That is the promise. Every daily care will fly away. You don't have to have a house where you have to lock the door when you leave. Did you forget to lock your door? You don't have any more late comings. You don't have to go to sleep at night and say, I'm so tired. All earth burdens fly away. No more. No more. There will be no more sin. You'll be free from sin, not just free from the taint of sin, but from the desire to sin. Today, you go out, you see an advertisement, you say, let me go and see that amazing film. And there you fall into the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and you sin. That will never happen again because you are changed. There is no desire to want to sin. There is no more desire to do the things that you know displease God. No more. What happened? Because Jesus comes and you are changed. Where does it say so? It says so in so many places of the Bible, but this is only one verse. Philippians 3:21. We are citizens of heaven. And it does not yet... We know that when He comes, we shall be changed to be like Him. When Jesus comes, all sickness and aging and death, you will not get up tomorrow. Firstly, you don't have to sleep. You never need to sleep anymore. And you never have to look in the mirror to see whether you are growing older or pretty or not pretty. All these things become things of the past. What else can you think of? Do you ever have the sadness of goodbye? Today, the family in Australia of Peter Clemens, 5 children miss their father, their sadness and tears. No more again. On that glad day, every child of God in the family will be changed. There will be no more parting. No more. No more the pain of goodbyes. No more hunger. You get out of here, you don't have to look for lunch anymore. Never again, because we will all be transformed with a spiritual body that is never hunger. Do you eat? Yes. You eat not because you are hungry, but because it is delicious you want to eat. And you don't grow fat. No more anger. You will never get angry, you never lose a temper, because when Jesus appears, you are changed immediately. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, you are changed. You never have to feel hot and cold. You never have to adjust the air conditioning. You're always comfortable. Now the rest you can go on and imagine. But the most wonderful thing is, as said here in verse 3, you read with me, please. Are you ready to read with me, please? 1 John 3:2. Okay, everybody once more. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Let us pray. Father in heaven, show us the glory of the risen Savior, for He today sits enthroned in heaven, glorious in majesty and power, preparing to come for us. In the meantime, preparing a place for us, praying for us, caring for us. Lord, increase our faith to trust in the Savior, to look forward to His coming again, and until then, to be His witnesses, to go and tell others, loved ones, those who are still outside the kingdom of God, that they too may receive the new life in Jesus and be ready for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, there will be glory and joy and peace unspeakable. Bless your people with the faith and the trust and the confidence in Jesus' name. Amen.